And you're listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Sheree. I'm your girl, Sheree Darien. What's up, Savannah? So thankful to be back with you today. I am bringing you another amazing guest. But before we jump into that, let me jump into this and remind you, you're listening to WRUULP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio. With Global Soul. The viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily that of WRUU, its staff, or its license holder. And without further ado, Savannah, I am bringing you Mr. and Mrs. Hollins. Are you guys on the line with me?
Yes. Good morning, Savannah. Good morning, Savannah. Yeah. We are here.
We are wide awake, so we're excited. So you're going to get a full dose of us today.
That's exciting. Listen, I want to start this week with the topic, which I find quite fascinating. And actually where I am right now, I'm struggling, guys. I'm just going to put it out there, right? Because I need some debonair gentleman out there to be listening with his ears on perk, right? And I need him to really pay attention to this because I am... auditioning. So we're talking today about a brand new book Elders Hollins have written together, Marriage Material.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Pre and Post Marital Training Guide.
Yes. We're so proud of it. Oh my God, we're so proud of it.
It's our new baby.
Yes.
Times two.
Yes. We recently had a little baby. In May, at the end of May, his name is Avery Lucas. And while we were on maternity and paternity leave, we put all of our class teachings together and we birthed another baby.
Yes.
And that baby's called Marriage Material.
Listen, I just want Savannah to know, we are recording this fabulous interview via Zoom. And it is so absolutely apparent, the bliss, the marital bliss that is written across both of your face. It really is. I can see it in her eyes as she's looking to you. I can see when you are actually initiating or finishing her sentences. It's absolutely beautiful. It's beautiful. And they have a picture of themselves behind them, which I believe is also on your bio, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. This is gorgeous. And this is, I say that intentionally, I'm very intentional. And I say that very intentionally because it means that love is possible.
Yeah.
It is.
And actually, we are actually intentional about the affection we show one another, especially out in the outward world as well, for the simple fact that, you know, on some level, we want to make marriage look good again. You know,
you can say that.
You see so many billboards, you know, get divorced for $99.99, make it sound real good. Save that penny. But, you know, you don't really see billboards talking about how great marriage can be if you work at it, because it's work. But we're very intentional about, you know, the affection we show, especially in front of our boys.
Yeah.
Because, we're building them up so they know that marriage is a great thing and they want it for themselves.
Yeah. And so, they say it. They say it all the time. Or they'll, you know, we always make jokes because we said marriage is about smacking each other every day. And they're like, what do you mean? And stuff like that. And what we do is we give each other this. We smack.
Yeah.
And we're smacking all day. And we say that to them. And they think it's hilarious, but it makes them, you know, remember that love is so precious. And
yes.
And I feel blessed because of it. So, but God did it. We didn't do it. God did it.
Patience. He gave me patience.
We're going to put a pregnant pause right there on the God did it. We're going to come back to that.
Yes.
But I want them to know. So I'm channeling, if you will, my audience that can't see you. So I want them to know this whole smack that you guys are talking about was actually a kiss that they gave. The mushy face of Anna the entire time. And we've only been on like 5 minutes. So I also wanted to share the subtitle to this book, marriage material, pre and post marital training guide, it said guiding you until the training wheels fall off.
Yes. Yes. Because we want couples to understand that in all seasons of marriage, you need help. You need someone to guide you. And my husband and I we're actually premarital and postmarital instructors. We're certified. And then also we teach, and we've been teaching for the last 13 years in our church ministry. And our church, you know, they're one of the larger churches in our area. And we've had so many couples. And at this point, we did the calculation, we put it together, and we figured out from all of the surveys that roughly about 1,800 couples that we have mentored and coached over the years.
Right.
And we want other couples, from seeing what we've seen, now we're starting to pick up like, okay, so this is what marriage material is, and this is what it's not. And we wanted to warn and provide as much information as possible so that those that are seeking it can have it, you know?
Agreed. Because, you know, the funny thing is, we all go through the same thing.
Yes.
But we internalize it and we keep it to ourselves because we think, oh, it's just me.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know what I go through. No, we all do. We all go through the same thing on some level. And the cool thing about it is, if we want to, we can just talk about it.
Yeah.
But that's the hard thing about it as well. Sometimes we don't want to talk about it.
Right. We put up facades and we say, I'm good. I'm okay. I don't need anybody. I'm not looking. No, say you're looking. If you're looking, say it. Say you're open to be received so that people know what to look out for. And that they know you're open, and then they can come and pursue you.
Many of us have survived, obviously, COVID, being at home, the pandemic, a lot of which is still happening today. But I think it certainly revealed opportunities. And then it's really what you do with the opportunities once it's been revealed.
Yes.
It looks like you guys took that opportunity to pay it forward, if you will, and help not just the church. If this thing is on Amazon or any other place where a book can be bought, this is like you're trying to affect change in the world when it comes to marriage. I love what you are saying, Mr. Hollins, talking about it. This is what this platform was made for, to be naked, unashamed, and unapologetic with our truth. Mm-hmm. How many of us, particularly in the church, or I'm going to really come back to you from a male perspective.
Yes.
Struggle with having an open, honest conversation. Conversation coming to you, Mrs. Hollins, because it has to be a dialogue, not a monologue. It's two people exchanging, not listening to respond, but listen to really understand. What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, honestly, you hit the nail on the head for the simple fact that, especially as men, I'll just talk about myself in general. I really didn't know how to have an adult conversation until I met my wife, because I was so used to just having these one word answers and people accepting it. Like, how are you feeling? I'm good. And, you know, you keep going, you know, but why are you good? You know, she would have me questioning like what I was really feeling. And in turn, it had me using words I never used before, or had me thinking thoughts I never thought before. And it really elevated our conversations. And that's like how she pushed me as a man, because in turn, I can do that with my boys now. Yeah. And I say that because of the fact, like, as a child, I never had those conversations with my own parents. Like, it would be one word answers if they asked at all.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I really think you hit the nail on the head, like, especially as a man, like, we're taught at a young age, well, sometimes to be seen and not heard, because, you know, you heard that a lot of growing up. But also as a man, you're taught to kind of keep your feelings in. You know, don't let them see you cry. You know, you're a boy, you can't cry, you can't do this, you can't do that. And we express to our children now, like, if you gotta cry, it's okay to cry in front of me if you don't wanna cry in front of them being whoever the world may be.
Right.
But, you know, you have to get those emotions out somehow, because the fact of the matter is, if you don't express yourself, or if you don't get those emotions out, they're gonna come out at the most inopportune time.
Yes.
And they may even come out in a rageful manner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we tell people, well, my wife referenced it to Katie Go Boom, if you remember that from the 70s.
I forgot it, Tiny Toons. I don't know if you've ever watched it. It was a character on Tiny Toons that was called Katie Kaboom. And she would hold it in and all of a sudden she would just blow, right? And so
And then you have to know yourself as well, because my personality is just that, where I'm like a wallflower to a certain extent. Like this, I can do this, I can talk to you. But if I'm in the element I don't know, I like the people watch until I can feel the room.
Yeah.
So being that I kind of internalize some things, like if I don't know how to express myself sometimes, like I'll hold it in, and then it'll come out again at the most opportune time. But again, my wife has taught me how to be better about that and be more intentional about getting my feelings out, whether it be writing it down, which I can do great, mm-hmm. or just having the conversation, you know, because sometimes she has to press me, you know, even though 13 years into marriage, you know, we still, you know, iron sharpens iron.
It does.
And she knows me. Mm-hmm. So she has to press me, like, what's wrong? What's wrong, baby? What's wrong, baby? You know, she has to, you know, break down my walls, because it might be up at that moment until I can actually kind of verbalize it.
I want to stay right there. You said she pressed you to get to the core, to the root of whatever was happening internally with you. And she would ask you the question, not one, not two, but maybe three times, what's wrong, mm-hmm. what's wrong, what's wrong? How did you not see that from, again, a male's perspective as being nagging?
Well, it's just like how I kind of expressed it. They can't see my face, but, you know, if she's doing it, because, you know, tone is everything, right?
Oh, my God.
So she's doing it in a loving way, like, baby, what's wrong? I know something's wrong. You know, blowing me kisses and, you know, doing like different things to make it a loving conversation, then, you know, I can only receive it a loving way. But, you know, like you were saying, like, people can't take it the way they receive it. So if she's following me around, what's wrong? I know something's wrong. Tell me now. You know, if she's threatening me within the conversation, like, you better tell me, then that's a totally different thing. But tone is everything. And we've known each other so long that she knows how to kind of maneuver my hard edges and smooth them out with her tone.
It's true. I do. I would say it takes time, but it is questions. It is love. It's 100% tone, but it's also recognizing when he needs space. You know, it's okay to have space to calm down and for him to process his thoughts. And when you love someone, you study them. And my husband always says this, I say this too, you know, I'm trying to get my PhD in Connell, you know, and so I'm always studying and I want to know what's best because I love him. And so that's that grace place that we get into. And I understand when he needs a moment. I know my husband's personality is when he comes through the door, he needs to download. He needs a moment. Don't come to him with a bunch of stuff when he walks through the door. Give him time to relax. And then when he relaxes, then we talk about it, you know, and then I'll say, hey, what's going on? How did work really go? How did that work out? What do you need? How can I support you better so that you don't feel that way? Or what else could we do here so that you don't have that stress? Because especially for men and especially for Black men, mm-hmm. it is very hard in that world for them. And it's really important that when they get home, that they're supported, because the world can turn their back on them so easily. And they have to find comfort and feel as though that they're, when they get home, it's a getaway without going away.
Staycation.
You know, it's a staycation, right? A vacation. You know, I want him to feel, not that we don't have tough times and things like that, but when you focus on the good, you can get through the bad times that much easier, you know?
Yeah. Okay, Savannah. So we've obviously took a deep dive into this conversation today, and I did not properly roll out the red carpet. So please allow me an opportunity to do so. We told you the topic today was a brand new book by this lovely couple entitled Marriage Material, Pre and Post Marital Training Guide, guiding you until the training wheels fall off. So who is Elders Cornell and Rhonda Hollins? This is their first book, right? You guys are first time authors of this book about marriage. And you're also premarital instructors, marriage officiants, mm-hmm. and experts for the last 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They have trained over 1,800. See, you heard me? Put those extra zeros back there.
And so you're speaking into existence.
Speak to my future.
Come on, couples, and have come up with a system to identify marriage material in a prospective mate, as well as training tools to guide couples to a healthy and successful marriage. Wow, there's so much more here. I'm going to obviously give you an opportunity to share your contact information before we wrap this up, but I want to jump into some just practical questions.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been married?
We have been married for 13 wonderful, glorious years.
Yes, and we've been in those 13 years when we started in ministry, They actually had a start before we were actually married. And we couldn't believe, remember, we were like, they just gonna throw us in here like that.
We were like, it was very daunting being that we were just engaged and they were trying to have us out there like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was also humbling to know that, like, they saw something in us that obviously we didn't see in ourselves in that moment.
Yeah, we didn't see it in that moment, but we learned a lot. And the very first couple that we began coaching when we were engaged were, yeah, I would say 60, they were in their late 60s and early 70s.
Yes, our elders.
Our elders. And they put us in the room with them and they said, coach and develop them. And so we said, what? Like, what are we going to, we haven't even gotten married yet. What are you doing?
So let alone us thinking that ourselves. And them thinking like, what can they show us? What can they tell us? Mm-hmm. You know, I've got underwear older than them.
That's exactly what they told us. You know, just so you know that, Sheree. They say, you know, who do you want to teach us? We have underwear older than you two. And we said, oh man, that's tragic. That's what we first said.
They were actually rekindled high school sweethearts who both previously had marriages and then kind of found each other again online. Facebook will bring people back around.
Yes, it did. They got some FaceTime with Facebook and they got back together. And we were in the room with them. And I will tell you, at the time, I didn't understand why we were given that task. Mm-hmm. But now in perspective, it was the most powerful moment. We still talk to that couple. And when I think about it, what we learned, it was two things. And you tell me if I'm correct in the way you believe too, honey. But the very first thing that I remember was, you know, how, you know, when you have a preconceived notion of what a marriage is, it's very difficult to change that mindset that long into it. So we start understanding why premarital training, premarital counseling was so important.
Yes.
Because before we could get to the love part with that couple, we had to get through all of their preconceived notions, all of their unspoken rules that they had really set in themselves for years, you know? And we had to get through that. The second thing I learned was that love can happen anytime, right? It can happen. So that's the second part. We thought, wow, look at this. Like, love can happen anytime, but we could teach each other something. Mm-hmm. So they taught us, in our opinion, foundational love, like what it means to create a foundation of love and hold on to it that long and keep it and sustain it. And then they told us, we taught them how to keep it spicy and fresh so that they want to love and have that new love look at one another and understand what it was. And so what I saw from that is, oh my goodness, we need each other so much. Yes. We need every season of marriage. We need every season of age involved in this, because that's what truly makes marriage look good. That's what really makes marriage material, you know, and that's what we saw in that moment. So I'm grateful for that. But in that time, we've had couples, and until this day, we have couples that are much older than us. We have couples that are younger than us, and then everyone in between. And we have learned substantially from it. But I found now that I believe that they hear us. It doesn't matter that the age group, they hear us because we do our homework and we also are coming from a loving place. We want love. We want love to be over the top for everyone else because that's the way God intended it.
Agreed.
You know?
And it goes back to the first question you asked, Sheree. They see it too. They see love on us and they can't help but, you know, want to, you know, love gravitates towards love.
It does.
Yeah. So they see it on us and they want to be around that as well. And then it's just like favorite. It rubs off on, you know, them. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you better say that.
It's running through my head as you guys are talking and dropping so many nuggets of wisdom. A scripture that comes to mind is, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I'm also thinking about the Proverbs 31 woman, Rhonda. You exhibit that. I'm seeing that in you. 13 years, you guys were thrown into ministry, marriage ministry, even when you were engaged. And then to have the audacity to have a very seasoned couple, right? That was starting all over again. In the perspective that you pull from that or glean from that, I find fascinating. Mr. Hollins, Elder Hollins, you mentioned it's work.
Yes.
Every relationship is business, personal, marriage, obviously, family, children, it's work. You got to put in. I believe no deposit, no withdrawal. And I'm a former banker. So give me.
I love that.
I love that.
Yeah. But then you also said, Rhonda, all seasons of marriage. You've said that a couple of times. So for the person or persons that may be listening to us right now that says, oh my God, it's over for me, right? Mm-hmm. They counted it out. They don't believe. I love this older couple that you had the privilege of mentoring, I want to say, or coaching. And you said it's never too late. That's my word, paraphrasing. It's never too late. Love can happen at any time. What do you mm-hmm. say? I mean, tell us about, you're going to get in your business, right? A bit transparent here.
Yeah.
It sounds amazing. It sounds magical. It sounds blissful. Has there been highs and lows? Has it been flatlined? You guys been cruising this entire time. And how do you hang on? And I want to say this before you respond is, and I'm probably going to overgeneralize this statement, is I don't think many people, if any, get married so that they can get divorced. It certainly wasn't in my plan. It wasn't Cherie's plan. Had no idea. In fact, it's still today. There are days when I wake up and say, how can this be life? me, almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. 30 years. I'm thinking, girl, that's half your life. That's more than half your life. I'm only 47, which means we got married when we were in the crib. So it's still a long time.
It's okay.
But at the same time, I know that whoever my new man is,
yes,
I am already marriage material. I know I am already a wife. It's not when I meet him, I become a wife. Mm-hmm. I already know what I am. I'm like, God, mm-hmm. you designed me for companionship. I don't understand this season or what took me here, but I believe, remember I said at the beginning, Jesus, take the wheel. He took the wheel a long time ago for Cherie, and I'm allowing him to drive. I don't know where we're necessarily going in this particular, you know, portion of my life. But I know we're going somewhere. And I believe, I love when I can just really open up my faith in a conversation.
Oh, yes.
Jeremiah 29:11 that says that he knows the plan.
That's
that
the
he
plans.
Did. You know, he knows that. I know that he knows that. And so mm-hmm. I'm cool with that. But I'm struggling. I'm just going to put the pen down, drop the mic and say, I'm struggling, guys. This new age dating thing is weird. Can I just say that?
Yes,
it's freaky. It's weird. It is like, this can't be real life because I have a full life. And most of the guys, help me, brother Hollins, you stay right there. These guys want to play. They want to have a good time. They want fun. You know, they say they don't want any drama. They don't come with any baggage. I don't know who doesn't have anything, who doesn't have any stuff. I have a lot, like a very full life.
Yeah.
And so weird putting yourself out there for people to, I feel like my picture is posted all over some things. Wow. You know what I mean? It's weird.
Yeah.
Help me out. Let's do some live coaching.
No, you hands down, you're right. It is weird. And unfortunately, it's just the season of the times for the simple fact that with the accessibility through the phones right now, like men and women, they're able to kind of navigate this thing with the understanding that whatever you don't like, somebody else will. So they have options in their mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in my opinion, sometimes it's not that sustainable for the simple point, like online, they're going to give you the best representation of themselves.
All day.
Like you're going to see a filtered life. You're going to see the best pictures they've ever taken, all their headshots. Like I want to know the real you, your heart. So really, I don't actually push people like to online date, because if you think about it, with as busy as your life is, you're going to run across a man, a godly man within the realm of your own circle, whether it be the grocery store, the laundromat, well, not the laundromat, but the dry cleaners, church.
And, delivered from the laundromat.
and just things of that nature. Because I strongly believe, for one, you shouldn't be the one seeking. Yeah. You know, he will find you,
mm-hmm.
you know, right. So like you already said, you've already given it to God. So as long as you can just stay in that mindset, as hard as it is, because, you know, we want things in our own time. Sometimes, you know, we're in a microwave generation, like 30 seconds or less, you know, we want it now.
Yeah.
But it's okay to take a step back and just let God do what he does, because he wants more for you than you want for yourself sometimes.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, delay is not denial, you know? So if it takes a little bit of time, sometimes it's so that, you know, I was just thinking about this. I was reading in Genesis the other day, and it was talking about on the seventh day, God rested. And I was thinking about it, and I was just like, you know, what if it's not the rest that we think? You know, sometimes we think when we think of rest, we're thinking we just go to sleep or we're waiting, we're just at a complete stop. But I believe God's resting is almost like if you're a chef and you're cooking, and before you cut into that great meat in a season, you let it rest for a little bit so all of it can marinate and come together well, right? And I personally believe sometimes he's just letting you rest a little bit because I need this person to marinate. I need maybe you to marinate a little bit longer so you be at the right seasoning, right temperature for love to really manifest. And sometimes we don't want to wait for that. Right. And what we have found, and we're in agreement with you, Cherie, like when it comes down to how challenging it is dating. If you knew some of the things that we have had to coach and train through, and that we have heard just weird circumstances when it comes to online dating. And it's really what got us to do the materialistic chapter in the book. Why we did that is because we wanted to clearly put it out. This is what you need to look out for. These are the issues. And we even said it because even though it's premarital and it's post, sometimes you could be engaged to someone that you probably need to say no to. Mm. You know, they could be imposters sitting right next to you. And it's literally, what was that movie with Julia Roberts? Do you remember that one? Something, it was The Enemy or something. It was
Sleeping with the Enemy.
Sleeping with the Enemy, right? You do not thank you, baby. Oh, stop. That was dope. Sleeping with the Enemy. In that movie, you know, you don't want to end up sleeping with the enemy and that, and you have pretty much invited that person into your room, into your innermost parts, and without you asking questions. And then the last thing is in this, what we've written is we've written a total of, it's almost about 155 questions that are scattered all through this book. And it's questions that you need to ask someone before you say, I do, before you even say, I'm thinking about saying I do, you know, like, what do I got to ask? Because we have seen almost all of it. You know, we didn't see it all because God gives us vision in part, but we've seen enough to where we are like, we can write 200 pages in a book. And then we also have a corresponding workbook. But the reason why is because we want you to be prepared because there is always a counterfeit that comes first before the real thing. And so we want you to be prepared for that because people always claim to be marriage material, but they can be materialistic, you know, maybe material, what we'll say, we made a new definition, but what we say, it's like material-like. It looks like the real thing, but when you put it under the microscope, it bears no good fruit. And so what we're looking for is the fruit of the person.
Yes.
And God will not give you some one-time eureka moment that this person is for you. That's not the way that God works, and that's not the God we serve. He's going to give you multiple ways. He's going to say, hold on, this person, this gentleman or this lady, they're going to show it in their actions. They're going to show it in their character, both in your presence and in your absence. They're going to show you that they love you more in their absence, in your absence, than in your presence. We want someone that's protecting you and having and holding you in multiple ways. It can't be something they can fake, and you need to watch them for a long period of time. These short, I believe in love at first sight relationships, I'm telling you, for the most part, they do not work. We have seen it where some have. Thank God he covered that relationship. But I want to tell you, in this new age, you need to take your time. And that's why the enemy wants you to move quickly.
This is moving too quickly. Moving too quickly. We're already halfway into this episode. Savannah, we're going to stop. We're going to take a deep breath. Inhale, exhale, and we will be right back with you.
How many times have you heard WRUU's corporate underwriting message? If you remember it, then your potential customers remember your message as well. We are offering this space to connect corporate and institutional partners with our loyal and active listeners. Underwriting on WRUU is short, so listeners don't tune out. It's exclusive, so your message won't be lost in advertising clutter. And it supports Savannah's only community radio station. For a marketing package to increase your reach beyond traditional media, email underwriting@wruu.org.
And we are back. You're listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Cherie. I'm on the line today with Elders Cornell and Rhonda Holland, first-time authors of their new book, Marriage Material, Pre- and Post-Marital Training Guide, Guiding You Until the Training Wheels Fall Off. I keep wanting to say that. I want to repeat that. Apparently, need help, right? All of humanity help. There's so much that's happened with marriage. You know, what I've learned through my own seasons is, believe it or not, marriage is so much bigger, expensive than just two people.
Yes. Yes, come on. We tell people all the time, you know, if you think about it, if you have children, little eyes are watching.
They are.
And so, like I said in the beginning, whatever you put out there and they see it, they're either going to want to emulate it or they're going to want to stay away from it.
Yeah.
Because if you're not giving them the best example where a marriage could be, like on some level, your kids are going to carry that into their future relationships. It's just a given.
Yeah. Because
I know I did that a little bit myself with the way my parents were and how I perceived their marriage. I thought that's how my marriage was going to be. And it's totally 360 different from theirs. And it should be, because each marriage is different. It's individualized. And the people that are in it should make it their own versus trying to copy off this person or that person or that couple. Because, you know, society, you know, in the world, they'll have you thinking like these quote unquote stars or whatever, whoever you're looking at, they have it all figured out.
Yes.
And they have the best marriage because that's all they show you. Again, that filter life.
TV will have you divorced.
Yes.
That's what he's trying to say very nicely. It will get you divorced. You better watch
Come
out.
Come on now. I knew I was going to have the Cosby Show marriage.
Come on.
I knew I was going to have the Family Matters marriage. Growing Pains. Oh, all these TV shows show, like, they wrapped up marriage in a 30-minute sitcom. Like, it was in a tight bow. Like, everything can be good all the time.
But what is a marriage? A marriage is a long conversation checkered with disputes. So if you think you can wrap it up in 30 minutes and think it's going to be okay, you're going to be sadly mistaken. And if you're walking into marriage thinking all I want is someone to love me, you're going to get hurt. And we want you to be prepared. You know, you need someone. You have to walk into marriage recognizing marriage is a servanthood, right? Mm-hmm. You're serving someone. You're serving someone else other than you. You're loving outside of yourself. So if you're not a giver by nature, if you don't have a strong work ethic, honestly, you're not ready for marriage. And that's okay. We're encouraging you to get that skill set first.
Yes.
Then start talking about marriage, because marriage is not meant for it to make you feel better. And you can't walk into marriage being a half person.
Say it.
You better be whole all by yourself. You got to be strong one all by yourself.
And know then who you are.
Yep. And who you are. You got to say it, honey. Yes. Okay. It's the truth. And if you walk in there thinking you somebody else other than who you are, you putting up a facade, a filtered life, you're going to be divorced quicker than you will even be married. And we don't want that for you. We would rather you, and we tell couples this all the time when they come into our classroom settings, we have anywhere from 60 to 100 couples that are in our room. And we went from, because of COVID, we went from the classroom to Zoom. And we said, we're going to resume and do it this way. But what we have found is when people walk into a relationship, and we tell them all the time, if you're walking in this relationship, our goal in this class is to try to break you up. And they're like, everyone, don't they get that face? They're like, what do you mean? And we go, because if you can't handle what we're going to throw at you, including the kitchen sink, you're not ready for marriage. Marriage is not for the weak or for the faint of heart. Yes. You must be battle tested. And yes, marriages work. But we always say it's good work. I mean,
it's good trouble.
Oh, you better say that. Yes. Oh my goodness. I'm loving you. I'm like, I just love all this stuff you say. But it is, it's good trouble. And, you know, and are you ready to get into this type of good trouble? Are you ready? Come on. Cause we want to make sure you are, and we'll take you on a ride. That's our goal. And that's why you need the training wheels for right now, because then you can take a little bit more risk. You can fight a little bit harder because you know, you can lean on something on either side. But when the training wheels come off, you got to be able to make sure you find your own marital balance.
I know I got to jump in. You just go and go and go and go. So good. No, don't apologize. It's so good. We're just trying to compact it in an hour. And it's, I mean, really, I'm going to give you an opportunity, certainly, to give your contact information. I know people have questions and want to follow up, and I can't get it all in one episode, which means you're welcome to come back at any time. There's so much flooding my mind. And I need you guys to help me out, because as you were sharing, I don't know which one of you, both of you were saying something that was just firing off things in my mind. I was thinking about Will and Jada. I think you were talking about the filtered life, right? Will Smith and his wife, Jada. And then they had a, what do you call it? What's the word that came out after them with this guy she was seeing?
It was the entanglement.
Yeah, entanglement.
Entanglement.
Thank you. Then you have entanglements. Well, social media today with all this filtered life, they make this stuff seem like it's the new normal. Like, mm-hmm. you know, what is consistency? What is being loyal? What is being committed? What is being respectful and devoted to one person? What is honoring the word of God when it comes to family and marriage and covenant and true relationships? What is that when it comes to sacrifice? What is it when you become one? And all of these personalities, introvert, extrovert, narcissist. Oh my God, there's so much. I told you guys in the beginning, so much noise out there.
Yeah.
I want to get to the book, though. I really want to take the last few minutes together and really deep dive in this book. What made you write this book? Why is it so necessary today? As a financial person, you used the word earlier, sustainability, mm-hmm. right? My job now, it's not even a job. It's my passion is helping entrepreneurs start businesses, particularly in the minority culture, all about wealth creation, so forth and so on. That's another soapbox of mine that I absolutely love. But the key word is sustainability. If yes. we get involved in this, you need to think about longevity. I stated earlier that I don't think, and it's probably overgeneralized, that people getting married to just get divorced. I don't believe in that. I don't think that's the intention. I think they really think they're in love and they're in it to win it, right?
Yeah.
And that, unfortunately, sometimes life happens and things don't work out. Right. But back to the entanglement, all these different types of personalities. Why is this needed right now from your perspective in and out of the church? But I want you to really focus in on the church because I feel like we've compromised, or I see a lot of compromise of people that say, okay, I'm a Christian, wearing a t-shirt, got a big C on my chest, yet I don't see the matching behaviors to demonstrate.
I think you hit the nail on the head why we wrote the book. We wrote the book because in church settings especially, we don't always see truth in the way that they explain how marriage is working out. Like for instance, is don't have sex before marriage, but we don't give a why behind it. We just say, don't do it. And, or we make women in particular feel as though it's something wrong with them if they have sexual urges, you know, towards their mate or towards someone else, or make it seem as though it's lascivious, right? We kept on seeing how so many people were just saying get married, but then they weren't giving them real action tools, practical tools in order for them to be married. Mm-hmm. And we were watching, and I hate to say this because I love the church and God knows I do, but we were causing divorces because we weren't being transparent and honest, right? Mm-hmm. And I really believe when our leaders put us in place, I see it now, I didn't see it then, but it's because they knew we were going to be direct and honest, and that we had also dated before marriage, whereas sometimes a lot of ministry leaders, they didn't have any of that dating experience prior. So they didn't know what to look out for. They didn't know what the bad things were. They just were saying, stay in love. And they didn't give you practical or the why behind it. So that is 100% the reason why we wrote the book. And we also want to give the behind the scenes tips that many people pitfall and run into. We want you to see the red flags before they become a red flag, mm-hmm. so that you know what to look out for, so that you are not walking around pretending like your marriage is good. Now, to answer your question about what's happening in society, that is the second reason why we wrote the book.
Yes.
When COVID first happened, my husband will tell you, we saw so much I would say intimate partner violence that was happening left and right. They had nowhere to go. Before, they could go to school, they could go to church, they could go to work and hide from their mate, but then they were stuck in that room with them, and mm-hmm. the abuse was going to all new levels, where it was going from, you know, verbal abuse to physical abuse to children being abused to high levels. And it broke my heart, you know, trying to help people go through these situations. And then to have a Will and Jada, and do I think they're great actors? Yes, but there are things that you must keep to yourself because you are perpetuating a bad relationship and trying to make it seem, like you said, normal. And that's not okay. You have a responsibility, you know, when you're doing things and when you're speaking about marriage. And if you really love someone, you need to make sure you give them not that truth, because that's their truth. Some of the things that they're speaking of that are normal, that's your relationship. Mm-hmm. That's not everybody's relationship. Right. So you need to give them guiding principles so that they can make the most of their situation, their relationship. And I'm sick of situationships. Okay, that's pretty much it. I don't like this uneasiness where people don't know where they stand in a relationship. And it's because of the way that they have perpetuated things. Again, love them as actors and actresses, but as far as counseling and a marriage, no, I want you to take a step back because you're hurting people. And if you really care about your fans, then give them a great counselor or a therapist or premarital counselor to go to so that they can work out their difficulties themselves. Agreed. That's irresponsible. I'm sorry.
Everything you said was like on point, like you tied up in a bow. As you were saying it, it had me thinking, like, another reason, if you think about it, why we wrote this book too, is because of those same things. Like, all those different things, like sex sells, like those situations, they sell magazines, they bring eyeballs to certain screens. And so that's why we also wrote this book, because, you know, if you can put that out there, why can't I put this out there and let you know what it really is?
Yeah.
You know, let our truth shine versus, you know, having them be someone that someone looks up to and want their situation. Why can't, again, we make marriage look good and you see what it can really be?
Yeah, what it really has the potential to be. And
what it was supposed to be, actually.
Actually, you know? It's the way God intended it. No, we messed it up. Man got in there and we messed up what love is supposed to be. Not what God intended, that's when it's right. That's when you see those two things coming together. Instead of it being just sex, it turns into me see. Like, into me see, can I be naked and not ashamed? Will you accept me as I am? Can I not wear makeup? Can I not wear spangs? Can you not get a haircut? Can I just be who I am? Can we not be fresh in the morning and you still love me? Can I tell you my truth? Can I tell you my weak parts and you won't exploit it and make me feel bad about it? Can I be who I am and do you love me still? That is me. That's real love.
And that was COVID. You couldn't go nowhere. All you saw was each other.
Yeah.
And it either went left or went right or it kept straight and narrow.
Yeah.
It was really up to you.
You're right, baby. If your relationship was weak, you know, COVID brought it out. If your relationship was strong, you made it through. And you have to have that foundational information first. Are you asking questions or are you just assuming? That is what's tearing up relationships too. You know, like, are you sitting up there saying, oh, they know what I want, they should do these things. And I'll tell you right now, don't let anyone should on you. You know what I'm saying? It's the truth. You know, like, you should have this, you should this, you should know that. No, those are lies. That's 100% of a lie. Your job is to train your mate how you want to be loved. And your job is to train them and train and learn them how they want to be loved. If you really love them, you'll take out the time. Again, don't take these little minute moments, these microwave moments, as my husband says, and try and make a long-lasting relationship. It'll fall like quicksand.
Yeah. You guys a power couple. I would like to know how you describe a power couple in the book. And before you answer, I'm thinking about something. I'm not sure which one of you said it earlier. It was actually Mr. Holland. You were talking about one-word responses and how Rhonda helped you to communicate better, to be able to express your feelings, you know, more specifically, if you will. What does a power couple look like and how much of that involves communication?
That's it.
Communication is first and foremost.
Yes.
Because if you don't know how and you can't do it, it won't last. Mm-mm. Because like Ronda was even just saying, like, I can't read her mind.
No.
So if she expects something from me or wants something from me and doesn't verbalize it, how am I supposed to know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to fall every time because I can't read her mind. And she'll come back and say, why didn't you do this? I'm like, did you tell me to? Did you ask me to? Like, how did I know to do it? You know, I mean, it's okay to have forethought. I mean, hands down. But again, like, I can't read her mind and I don't want to. I don't want to know what's going on in there.
Yeah. And can I tell you the truth? And I'm going to say this to women, right? A lot of times we're like, they should know our thoughts and things like that. I'm encouraging you, stop trying to train your man to be a woman, right?
Wait, what did you just say?
Stop trying to train him.
What does that mean?
What it means is this: he is built his way and I'm built my way. And you want him to think and move and act like you. He should understand every possible moment. That's not who he is, right? If you love them, then you recognize, you know what? I like him as a man the way that he is. I don't want a duplicate of me. Then we're going to have a bunch of cookie cutter houses that are built out together. I want him to have nuances. I like his character. I like the differences about him, because where he is strong at, I tend to be weak at. Yes. And then where I'm strong at, he tends to be, well, where I'm weak at, he tends to be strong at. And I noticed that God has created a perfect puzzle piece in marriage. You know, you're not supposed to be all one thing and like the all of it. He's not supposed to be identical to me. That is making him a woman. I don't want him to be a woman. I love him being a man. That's what makes him being sexy to me. He don't have to remember everything. Guess what? God gave me a great memory. I'll figure it out. I'll tell him and then we'll remember together. And then in turn, we grow off of one another.
Yes.
You know, I've learned to be very much more loving and slow down, because I go fast. I'll go boop, boop, boop. You've seen it in this conversation. I go, right? My husband is so chill. He takes his time and he's real calm. I need that in my life. And he has slowed me down. Even right now, he's like, slow down. I'm slowing down. He didn't even have to say it. I feel it in my spirit, right? Slow down. And then I slow down and then we work better that way.
Right. And then vice versa, she speeds me up where I make it a priority to get things done in a more timely manner, because of the fact that I can be more methodical about it, and I'll overthink the room. And she'll have me, just get it done. Just go ahead. It's okay. I trust you. And you know what? I need to say this, Sheree. The one thing about a good woman, if a good man, if you have a plan and you can show them the plan and they can trust in the plan, they will follow you anywhere.
Yes. I'm telling, that's submission now. That's the bad word nowadays. People don't want submission. But submission is sexy. If you're being loved right, submitting is all you want to do. You know what I'm saying? It's something good about it, right? And part of it is your mate has to have a vision and a plan, and you have to trust that where they're taking you is a safe place to go.
Yes.
If you don't have trust, you don't want to submit, you know? So
submitting to the mission, but first they must have a mission.
Yes, they have to have a vision. They must have a mission and they must have a plan. If you don't have that, then why are we going to just run around aimlessly? And then that's when women outstep. They'll outstep, because they're like, okay, they're trying to lead and they're trying to become the man in the relationship, right? You know, instead of being, you know, the wife and being the woman in the relationship. And there's nothing wrong with it, because women are powerful in themselves, you know?
We're in this together.
Yeah.
But yield ye one to another out of reverence for the Lord.
Amen. You better take your Ephesians 5:21. It's a great pill to take. Take it every time. Yield. Take your time. Then he gets to go sometimes. I get to go sometimes. And we just do who's ever strong in that moment. Well, no, I was going to say, too, it was something else that you said that really hit me hard. You said it too, sure. I know what it was. The reason why sometimes women can't find a man is because they've become a man. You know, you can't date a man if you're already one, and he needs his space, you know? And there are some things that you're going to have to allow them to take care of you on. And I'll be honest, when he started taking care of, I was that woman. I was very hard on my husband in the beginning. I was just like, wait a minute, what are we doing? I need to know. Da, da, da. And I was just going all left and right at the very beginning of our relationship. And then he literally, let me tell you how he checked me, Sheree. I was getting on him because I wanted him to come home. I said, come home. And because I made this meal and I wanted him to taste the food right then and there, right? He was out playing basketball with my dad and my brother. And I just kept calling him. I was lighting your phone up. I was like, come on. I made all this food. I was just so proud of this meal. So he came back. And when he came to the house, he was wearing his sweat clothes. And I was just like, the food is cold now. Once he walked through the door, I mean, I hit him right away. The food is cold. I worked so hard. I did all of this and everything. And he just looked at me. He's just nodding his head. And he wasn't saying anything. And for some reason, this was infuriating me more. I'm like, say something. You're not even saying anything. And I'm just did all of this work. And he was looking at me. And I'm watching him. And he took off his gym shoes. He's listening to me. He took off his sweatpants. And he was like, this not. And then he put back on his shoes. I'm like, why are you putting back on your shoes? He put back on his shoes. And then he handed me his pants. And then he walked out the door. And I said, where are you going? And I'm like, come in here. And he's like, no. You want to wear the pants? You keep the pants. And I'll be back. And he left. And I remember I called you and I left him voicemails in varying degrees of anger. I went from, you better get back to, I'm sorry, babe, just come on back. I need you to come on back. I'm going all through these things until I calmed down. Then he came back. And when he came back, I just said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to chill out because it wasn't that serious. I mean, that's serious.
No, that was a question I was going to ask you after that is you had that experience. You had, I mean, it was really on for you, but you were doing something that obviously was very important to you at the moment, not really thinking about whatever he was doing that he may have been enjoying with your brother and dad. But at the end of the day, was it worth it? Was it really worth it? But he allowed you that space. And I think that's the complementary of your personalities again, which I wrote the word compatibility down. You allowed her to just have her blow up, whatever that was.
Yes.
Then you removed yourself from the situation. I love it. It was just brilliant. You gave her your pants and said, okay. Right? So instead of even verbalizing it, you literally gave her a visual.
Mm-hmm. And that works for me. He knows me, but that worked for me. I was like, what? It just really messed me up. But,
I'm wondering for you, Rhonda, did he really hand you a mirror to see yourself?
Yes, he did. If I'm being direct and honest, I didn't realize how I was acting until he did that. And I had prided myself on, I'm a great wife. I'm wife this and wife material. But when he handed me those pants, I realized that I had overstepped and that I was acting out on something that wasn't really that important. And I wasn't really looking at the big picture. You know, like, you know, he was with my dad. He was with my brother. He was trying to build a relationship with them and I wasn't seeing it. I just saw what I wanted. And I was having a me moment, not a we moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that because I read that in your bio. Me too. We love. I love that. Me too. We love. Wow. That's a good segue. Excellent segue right there. Me going from just me, myself, and I to us.
Yes.
To the
week. I love the mirror thing that you mentioned because we bring it up all the time where sometimes we don't see what we can see. Because, you know, if you look at the side, I don't know if it still says it on cars, but back in the day, it used to say objects in the mirror may appear close than they may be. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're so close to that mirror that we lose our peripheral. We can't really see the big picture.
Say it,
because we're so close to it. So that's why sometimes we have to take a step back or we have to let this person in our life be our mirror so that we can actually see everything around us.
Okay.
And understand what's coming our way.
I love
especially
that.
The enemy.
Especially what?
Especially
with the enemy.
With the enemy.
Mm-hmm. He can see it.
So like it's power in this right here. Mm-hmm. So if we're back to back, you know, we can see 360 versus my limited vision right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we end up going back to back, I can cover this circumference and he can cover that circumference.
Right.
And then we have a 360 view versus if we're looking straight ahead only at what we want to see, mm-hmm. we only have that and we lose our peripheral, we lose our back, our hindsight as well. So hindsight is 2020, right? But you know.
Yeah, we're talking about 2022 being the year of couple. We talked about that earlier.
So, yes.
So I think that's some motivation and encouragement, also some inspiration for those that may be in the single season. You know, mm-hmm. but looking forward to the next. So, wow, here's to 2022. I cheered you. Well, I do have a cup of coffee. Cheers to you.
Thank you.
I wanted to piggyback on, see, I told you guys are amazing. I don't know where we are at the time. Listen, two things. One, you're talking about patience. And then you brought up how you can be that power couple and even be on guard, if you will, for the isms and schisms of the enemy. But you also mentioned earlier that there's so much, I said, noise in the world out there of what relationships should look like today. We're talking about situationships and entanglements and all type of foolishness. Okay.
Yes. I love that, Cherie.
And they're like at the top of the list. It might be number one New York best-selling. You know what I hear? You got this book and you said, okay, well, if you guys can do that, we can also be the counter to that. And let's do it the right way. Let's do it God's way. And I want to make this point that my number one episode on Courageous Conversation to date mm-hmm. is, check this title. I want it to now be marriage material, but it has It has been the autopsy of a cheating man. Mm. A warning to all men who cheat.
Mm.
I want it now to be marriage material.
Amen. We receive it.
Yeah, because it's amazing how many people gravitated to that, and which mm-hmm. also tells us that obviously that's an issue.
Yes.
So how many people honestly want to work on having a true, healthy relationship for yes. life? Not yeah. for a season. I'm talking about life till death yes. do us part. What do you guys say? First of all, before we jump back in, 5 minutes left in today's show. Mm-hmm. What is your contact information? Where can we get this book?
Well, you can definitely find us on Amazon for marriage material. We have the ebook on there as well as the paperback. And so you guys can get the book and support what we're going to utilize any of the proceeds from this for is to invest back into the ministry. Our hope is to continue to help marriages and couples. And we want to help couples that do not have the finances to get premarital counseling. And we want to get that all set up for you. The other part of it is we have a premarital workbook that is coming out that is following up with this. So it's going to be the application part of this. And that's really going to help those that are looking towards marriage and really identify what they want in a mate. But it's also going to help those who need a refresher on how to bring the love back into their relationship. And you have to be prepared for every season. It's always going to be a different level of marriage. It's the same devil, different level. So you got to be yes. ready in any season so that your marriage can survive. Website, you can follow us, find us at marriagematerialbook.com. That's www. You can also, if you want to, for ministry insight, you can go to meetowelove.com. And then also we have, oh my God, we got a lot of stuff. We also have a podcast, and our podcast is Me Do We Talk. And that's at meetowetalk.com. And you can find that on any of your social platforms, whether it be Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, we are there.
Very, very quickly, Savannah, I will ensure to put the links in or up for you on the website. What do you guys want to say and speak to the hearts of those that are in a single season? Those pre, post, or in between. What do you want to say? Speak to the hearts and the minds of men and women.
Well, I encourage those that are in a single season to just wait, because if you can't wait, then you'll settle, mm-hmm. and then you'll change your own expectations, mm-hmm. where you'll say, well, they might not have this, but they have that, and then you kind of dilute what God has intended for you.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I encourage you, it's okay to wait. Because you're working on you, you're doing you, you're focused on you. And like you were saying, Sheree, you might not have time for anybody else right now. So it's okay to just wait.
Yeah. It's your best season. And then I want to speak to those that what we would consider are on engagement layaway. We want to talk to those that are sending out false promises to you, that are telling you that they're going to marry you, that are giving you promise rings with no promise, that are promising you engagement only just to extend out the engagement for 5, 10, 15 years. You do not have to waste your time with time wasters. We want to help you with that. And we have the tools, and we have seen them. We have identified them. And we want to put the enemy on notice that we are coming for marriages and they're going to win. So if you want to win with us, we encourage you, grab the book, get involved in ministry, find a new way for you to bring the best you out so that you can attract that same you in another counterpoint. And that's what we want.
I have never heard engagement layaway.
Yeah, it's a yeah. real thing. Yeah.
A guy, so for instance, a man recognizes a good thing, you would hope, right? So I knew early on I was going to marry Rhonda. So it shouldn't take me like 5 months in and then like another 10 to like really get this thing done.
Yeah.
Because what happens is you're doing one of two things. I understand kind of saving for the wedding, but whose wedding are you having? Are you having the wedding that everybody wants you to have, or something that you want to have?
Oh, you better say that.
So, you know, what are you really saving for? You can also be wasting time because, you know, tomorrow is not promised. Mm-hmm. So if I want to make her my wife today, what's the harm in, for instance, going to the Justice of the Peace and just getting it done mm-hmm. for the sake of us and for the sake of our salvation, mm-hmm. rather than just playing house, living together for another 10 years, but saying we're engaged, mm-hmm. having all these kids out of wedlock. So that's another generational curse we're putting on them mm-hmm. and yeah. things of that nature. Yeah. So, you know, why are we playing with our salvation?
If you know it, basically what he's saying, if you know it's a good thing, what you waiting for? You know, if you like it, they say, if you like it, put a ring on it. No, if you love it, put a ring on it. You know, I don't want you to put a ring on it because you like me, because then that won't sustain. I want you to put a ring on it because you love this person and you're ready to go to war for them, cover them, protect them. You not only will you die for them, you would live for them. And so what we're looking for is that. So, you know, engagement layaway is when someone recognizes that the relationship is almost over. It's at that 2-year mark and you're going to break up with them because you recognize it's not going anywhere. And then they put a ring on your finger to extend it another 5, 10, 15 years. Do not let someone do this to you. And we want to show you how you can avoid it and how you can see it coming before it does. So, amen.
I'll tell you, I'm thinking about the importance of having respect for the man. We've heard that was important, or love for the woman. But then you said, Rhonda, love is not enough.
That's correct.
Hugs are a huge bomb about stop trying to train your man to be a woman. I'm like, what? So much good yumminess in this. Another major question that's on my mind, and I didn't get to, sorry, Savannah, all of the questions, we will definitely book them to come back again.
Yes.
Here's another big one. We're just going to set this up and then it'll be to be continued. Is it seems as if, and you guys correct me if this is inaccurate information, it seems as if men know what they want more so than women.
Yes.
Oh, hands down.
Yes. Come on. Oh, she just preached. Yes. Oh, this is so true.
I didn't tell you my story. I had to stalk this girl.
We're going to have to tell her about it. Yeah. We have to continue that and tell you this, but we will tell you, yes, men know. And what we have found in through all of these classes, and when a man, and this is a godly mate, right? When he knows in 6 months or less. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they know day one, day two, week one, they know. And then it's all about what they do after they get that after knowledge, right? But women don't know because they're not called to. Right, can I just say that?
Get to it as well, Sheree. If you think about it, how many women have told you that, quote unquote, their husband is nothing like they expected.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is a woman expects a certain thing, and so that's all she's focusing on looking for. Ooh. So when that good man comes, she doesn't really see him because he's not what she expected.
Exactly. But that's how God works.
Yes.
Because he doesn't give you what you think you want. See, you might be looking, you know, in one-dimensional. God looks 4, 5, 7-dimensional. Don't put my God in a box, okay? Right, so he's looking at what you really need. Yeah. And if I was choosing for me, I would be divorced right now. I'm gonna tell you right now. I know I was, because the things that I thought I wanted and needed, they are inconsequential now. I could care less. Now what God gave me, I'm serious, what God gave me, it fits me, it makes me happy. And so I will tell you, I didn't ask, and this is how I know that Connell came into my life. And that I was open and ready. I said, Lord, I haven't been getting this love thing right. Okay. So what I'm asking you is make me happy the way you see me happy. I don't want it the way I want it. Give me happy the way you wanted me to be happy. Mm-hmm. And when he did, a week later, I met Connell. And I wasn't even open to you, was I? I was so stupid.
Come on,
dang, Lord, thank you for giving me mercy. Yes, I'm so glad he fixed it, because I would have messed up a good thing. He did. I would have messed up a good thing.
Because I always say, if you ask a better question, you get a better answer. And you did. You went to God, open, honest, and unashamed, and said, look, I've been screwing this up. I need help. Yes. And a week later,
yes.
Ta-da!
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Yep. And I got dimples too.
Look at that. You got dimples.
He's blushing now.
He did.
I love it. You guys are absolutely amazing. Listen, I feel like I have not done this conversation justice. I think partially because I was very biased in having this conversation, because I'm like, okay, I need a deep. Sales. How do you do this and do it the right way? I definitely need you guys to come back.
Okay.
Marriage isn't going away. Relationships, entanglement, situationships, whatever. But let's model what a godly marriage is.
Amen. Yes.
Let's really model that together. Listen, I'm all things second chances. My favorite scripture is Revelations 12 and 11. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. I know that God's getting the glory out of my situation.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
I know he is. I know he is. This, I didn't sign up to get divorced. It happened.
Amen.
Whatever God's plan is, I have submitted to that. And yes. I'm so thankful that we were able to connect today and have this conversation. And we're going to change the narrative here and the listening ship with this autopsy of a cheating man that's now marriage material. We're going to
do that. Yes, amen. Yes, we commend you and we can't wait. We're probably going to officiate your next wedding. I mean, we believe it.
Well, I believe that.
We're touching a green.
Yes, I'm touching a green. I am downloading this book. And I'm going to get some coaching through the book. And obviously, we'll be back in touch, certainly. Yes. Savannah, that is another episode of Courageous Conversations with Cherie. I'm your host, Cherie Darien. And until next time, take care.